Do you have the happiest or the unhappiest job? Recently, Bloomberg WorkWise put a list of the happiest jobs in America based on fulfillment, coworkers, supervisors, and balance of home and life. Here are the top five jobs. Firefighters top the list, followed by machine operators, pediatricians, communication professors, and guidance counselors. Bloomberg also listed the worst jobs in which people were asking, is it 5 p.m. yet? These are the jobs where lunch hour rescues them. They are mail clerks and sorters, followed in order by court and municipal clerks, house cleaners, insurance claims, policy clerks, and telemarketers. When talking about work, A.W. Tozer said, we must do worldly jobs, but if we do them with sanctified minds, they no longer are worldly, but are a much of a part of our offering to God as anything else we give to Him. In today's chapter, Paul wants to teach us a lesson on work, regardless of which list we are on. And we find no better place to know how to sanctify our minds and make our job an offering to God than Titus 2, 9 through 10. This is what Paul says. Servants are to be supportive of their masters and to do what is pleasing in every way. They're not to be argumentative nor steal, but to prove themselves to be completely loyal and trustworthy. By doing this, they will advertise through all that they do the beautiful teachings of God, our Savior. In Titus 2, Paul begins to give advice to a number of different groups. He speaks to the men and women who are part of the AARP, calls them older men and older women. Then he has advice for the young men and younger women. And then Paul speaks to laborers who encompass all these groups. Author Dorothy Sayers, one of C.S. Lewis's literary friends, said, the only Christian work is good work well done. That's our goal. Good work well done. In their book, The Edge of Adventure, Keith Miller and Bruce Larson wrote, if you are miserable or bored in your work or dread going to it, then God is speaking to you. He either wants you to change the job you are in, more likely he wants to change you. I think Paul helps us here, regardless of what job we have, and I think Titus 2 is a good place to start with wanting us to change. Paul says when we work the right way in our jobs, we advertise God the Savior through what we do, not what we say. A lot of people like to talk, but it's those who do rather than talk who make the greatest impact. Former Notre Dame football coach Lou Holtz said, when all is said and done, more is usually said than done. Let's be a people who do more than say more. Here's Paul's challenge for us in our on-the-job training. Be supportive. Do what's pleasing in every way. Don't be argumentative. Don't steal. Prove to be completely loyal and trustworthy. Paul tells us to make those things our priority, and we will be walking advertisements for God. The Living Bible paraphrases that last phrase like this. In this way, they will make people want to believe in our Savior and God. We make God attractive by being a great employee. We witness for Jesus without even saying the name Jesus. Jesus alluded to this principle in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, your lives light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance. Let it shine brightly before others so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them, and then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. Here it is in its simplicity. People see your good actions and attribute them to God in your life. It goes like this. Your Christian faith should translate into good employee habits. Show up on time. No stealing. Don't be argumentative. Are you loyal? Are you trustworthy? When you're a good worker, you make God look good. Then eventually that opens up the way for you to have a good God conversation with others about it. Talking to people about your faith is last, not first. Usually those who talk first have a lifestyle that messes up their conversation. Chuck Swindoll shares about an old story of St. Francis of Assisi. One day, St. Francis said to one of his students, come with me, let's go down to the village and preach to the people who need our Savior. Off they went. Once at the gate, they stopped, bent down, spoke kind words to a crippled old man, gave him a cool drink of water and a few coins. Then they saw some children playing with a ball out in the field, so they joined their game and had fun with the children. While they played, a lonely widow watching at her doorstep drew their attention. When they had finished the game, they visited her, bringing her a few words of cheer and encouragement. A fearful young man lurked in the shadows, ashamed of what he had done the night before. They prayed with him, spoke with him openly and freely about forgiveness, grace, and mercy, and they encouraged him to pursue a more productive future. On the way out of town, they stopped at a small store and greeted the merchant, asked about his family, and thanked him for his faithful work through the years. Finally, St. Francis said, "Let's go back." The novice stopped and said, "But wait, when do we preach?" The old friar answered, "Every step we took, every word we spoke, every action we did has been a sermon. Imagine how well we could represent God if we approached our lives and work that way."